what I told them folks? I said, you all can go to hell. I'm going to Texas.
It is Friday here on the Bear Brief on the Crusade Channel. King Size Truth from Radio Size Figures. That's right, I'm coming at you for live from a wet and soggy Texas. I am your humble host, Captain Middle America himself, Rick Barrett. It is Friday, ladies and gentlemen, and we are ready to conclude this week with some stories for you to sift through the mainstream media narrative. If you want to be a part of the show at any time, give me a call at 844-527-8723. You can also send me one of those electronic mails, bearbrief@gmail.com, bearrettbrief@gmail.com. Same handle for the Twitter feed, Barrett Brief. Instagram's RTB_2, facebook.com/BarrettBrief. If you want to be a part of the show, go to the Mike Church Show chat room, mikechurch.com/chat. We have currently 15 speakers in there, or 15 people in there. Let's get a score from the judges. Is 15 people a good number for a Friday?
Those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers in this racket.
Okay, I guess it's not. MikeChurch.com/chat. Episode 188 of the Barrett Brief here. Go download the Crusade Channel content app. It's on the iTunes and Google Play Store. You get access to this entire week's worth of shows, as well as all the Mike Church shows from this week, the True Money shows with David Simpson, the Reconquest of Brother Andre Marie shows, and the Reverse Deception shows with Mr. Greg Carpenter. As long as you are a founding brother or higher, you get access to all these amazing features. That makes this the best media app out there. So go to the iTunes and Google Play Store. Download the Crusade Channel content app, become a founding brother or higher, and help support this listener-owned radio enterprise. This is the last day for this week's virtue of the week, which is humility. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Because, quote, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. 1 Peter 5:5-6. In God's eyes, humility is defined as simply putting ourselves completely under his mighty hand. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. James 4:10. We are humble when we are free from pride and arrogance, and when we are humble, we are ready and available to receive God's favor and blessings. So, this is, I don't know about you, but this week has felt a little bit longer than most. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's been some amazing stuff in it, but I think we might have gone a little, we didn't go overboard, but we spent so much energy and so much time making fun of Elizabeth Warren that, and of course, if you have noticed, that story has now disappeared. There's no record of this. Well, what do you mean? She never claimed she was an Indian. You're getting that story now more than anything else. But we're here. It's Friday. And let's cover our first two statistics that we talk about at the beginning of every Bear Brief here on the Crusade Channel. First being the number of abortions here in the United States and throughout the world. In the United States today, 50,007, number of abortions worldwide, 50,710 and counting. Here in the United States, 1,174.6 and counting. The United States this year, 741,568.5 babies dead this year. Worldwide, 32,410,345 and counting. That number won't stop over the weekend, folks. Most of us, when I'm done, I'll wrap this show up and leave the studio. I'm done for 2 days. Mike's done for the week. He did an amazing set of shows this week. Most of you are at work. You'll land, you'll punch out at whatever time. Some of you may work tomorrow. Most of you won't. That's it. We got 2 days off. Sleeping in, doing chores around the house, watching college football, whatever the case may be. That number will never stop. As long as we live in an America that most people genuflect to. As long as people are American Catholics, not Catholic Americans, as long as they're American Protestants and not Protestant Americans and so forth, as long as they put America before anything else, America right or wrong, that number will always continue to go. And as long as we as Catholics continue, and I'm just picking on Catholics because that's the biggest problem in my view, as long as we as Catholics still have priests that tell us, it's okay to vote Democrat, as long as you're voting for the pro-life part, or as long as you're voting for immigration, because we build bridges and not walls. As long as we have to deal with that, that number is going to keep going up. We don't have the strength to fight here in this society and take that fight to those who wish to perpetrate this evil. It's going to keep going, folks. Next statistic, U.S. national debt, $21,655,995,000,000 and climbing. Both the left and the right continue to run to Washington, D.C., continue to genuflect towards Washington, D.C. The Catholic Church continues to take money from Washington, D.C., Catholic Relief Services, so they can resettle, quote-unquote, refugees. As long as all those things continue to happen, that number is going to keep going up. Two numbers that never sleep, folks. And will never sleep as long as people put America and government over God. 844, 527-8723. Here's your bluff, your bottom line up front. This hour, we're going to cover this caravan. I got two stories on it. One from the Washington Examiner. U.S.-Mexico reached deal to stop Honduras caravan. And then we have NPR's caravan of migrants head north. Trump threatens to close the border, the southern U.S. border. Which is more of a rehash from yesterday, but in case you didn't hear it, it's good to know. Next up, we always cover free speech being silenced here on the Barrett Brief, even if we don't agree with it. The silencing of free speech is the first step towards true authoritarianism. We spoke out when Alex Jones was censored. We spoke out when Brother Alexis Bognolo from Ordo Militatis was banned. We spoke out every time because somebody needs to. And because we're a listener-owned radio enterprise, we have the ability to. You guys give us that ability. So from LifeSite News, Twitter locks out LifeSite of their Twitter account for quote-unquote hate fact-based posts on rise in gay STDs. Then we're going to go into this article from Church Militant talking about how the federal government is launching a criminal investigation or criminal probe into the Catholic Church in Pennsylvania. That should take us to the end of hour one. And then coming up in hour two, we have a fantastic poll from Gallup, which I'm sure when I read the title of it, you'll laugh as much as I did when I read it. Because the people, when they wrote it, their hands must have hurt because it's so against everything they think and feel and believe. So it's just amazing. Oh, and by the way, play the lottery or not, it's up to $1 billion. So maybe take your chances. I may have to grab a lottery ticket on the way home tonight. I mean, why not, right? People call it the idiot tax. People say the odds are this and that. And as Catholics, we're not supposed to be involved or pursue cash, but for a dollar, for $1 billion with a lump sum of 500 million, I can do a lot of good with that. Certainly fund the Crusade Channel for the next 25 years and other things. So I think I'm going to go take a whack at that tonight. I just saw that on CNBC. It's up to $1 billion. So, you know, all the crazies, that's a great thing. I'm going to go spend $1 understanding that my chance is about as good as growing from 5'6" to 6 foot. It's pretty much possible. However, these people that are going to go legitimately insane buying 45, 50 tickets, running around. Hey, Flippy, can you calculate, the odds of me winning based on one ticket tonight? No, Flippy, you got to be a little bit louder. Nobody can hear you. You're embarrassing me. You're embarrassing me in front of the Wizards, man. What? Can you tell the people the calculations of playing it tonight? Wow, that was pretty rude. I'm glad you guys can't understand Flippy's language like I can, because he's got a potty mouth there. But, yeah, I'm going to go have some fun. I'll play one lottery ticket. If you want to, go ahead. Just don't go legitimately insane thinking that if you buy 25 lottery tickets, you actually have a chance. So, 844-527-8723. Let's get to our first story here from the Washington Examiner. U.S.-Mexico reach deal to stop Honduran caravan at Mexico's southern border. Now, in case you missed this yesterday, we'll go a little bit through this story from NPR by John Burnett and Laura Wamsley. somebody brings up the point in the chat room. We'll get to this. Yeah, it's the people who do the work pools. Hey, guys, if we all put our money together, we can buy 150 tickets and then we'll win. Yeah. Okay. I would like to see one of those work pool wins, because then you're like, Janet, you only put in a dollar. You only get a dollar's worth. And then people start to get real vicious. I'll take my chances with the $1. I ain't sharing it with nobody. It's mine. Anyway, let's get back into the story about the Honduras caravan. NPR will tell you that a large group of mostly Honduran refugees, reportedly numbering in the thousands, it's about 4,000, has crossed into Guatemala in a caravan that is believed to be headed to the U.S. border. Of course, these people are fleeing violence, but they were able to manage to bring the Honduran flag with them in this picture, so good for them. Hundreds of migrants have arrived at Guatemala border town of, I'm not going to pronounce it, along the southern border of Mexico. James Frederick of NPR reports. Organizers of the caravan say they are waiting for thousands more to join them in the coming days before attempting to cross. And that's the thing that gets me, that there's organizers, which means it's not organic. It's not organic. So it's there's got to be something. There's something fishy going on, right? Because they always, oh, look at these people, they're fleeing violence. Yeah, did you all, 4,000 of you, go to the local VWF hall and say, all right, guys, I think we're going to go to the border now. And if you look at the caravan, it's just, it doesn't, it's, I'll just go back to my initial point. It's fishy. Now, the NPR article says that Mexico has ramped up security along its southern border and says that only migrants with valid paperwork will be allowed to enter Mexico, namely a passport, which most of those in the caravan do not have. So, of course, then they give you the soppy story. Judy, a 34-year-old woman in the group who requested that her last name not be used, said that her home country of Honduras has become very dangerous. No safety, jobs, and the hospitals lack medicine. Basic freedoms are being oppressed by the government, and Honduras simply feels unlivable. Honduras splits $2.6 billion with, like, Guatemala and one of the other countries. How is it unlivable? Now, you can absolutely say that it's government corruption, and I probably agree with you that government is corrupt. But, you know, no safety or jobs. Folks, that's a cultural thing. What are you proposing they do? I don't know what they should do. I don't. But I will tell you this much. I can't open the doors for everybody. I mean, if Judy's reason enough is to come here, no safety, jobs, or hot, and the hospitals lack medicine, then that's everybody in the known world. And if Judy, if you were a part of this, you are a part of this culture that you are now fleeing, Are you ready to integrate here into the United States? Let's see. They keep talking about other stuff. All right, so that's a little primer. That's a little bit of a refresh from NPR. But today, by Caitlin Carell of the Washington Examiner, she put out this article this morning at 8 o'clock a.m. The U.S. and Mexico have reached an agreement aimed at keeping the 4,000-person migrant caravan from reaching the United States. The plan was developed over many months and included a request from Mexico that the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees establish shelters along its border with Central America, a senior administration official told Fox News. The goal is to provide humanitarian aid to members of the caravan and either prevent them from entering Mexico or process them individually as refugees or as legal entrants. Mexico has also agreed to take back any migrant who evades their processing system and makes it to the United States. In the past, the United States has been required to house those who cross the border illegally until their cases could be heard, and only after they could be returned to their home country. Let's see here. Just today, the Mexican government, and this very important, requested the intervention of the UN, the Office of High Commissioner on Refugees, to help Mexico review the asylum. That's Mexican Ambassador to the U.S., Geronimo Gutierrez, told Fox News on Thursday night. As he explained it, Gutierrez said the request will allow those arriving at Mexico's border with Guatemala, where the first members of the Honduran caravan arrived Thursday, to make claims that they are seeking asylum. The ambassador also said they would ensure Mexico was respecting international law. See, say what you will about Trump and all of these things and his braggadocious ways and how he hits that Twitter button pretty hard, but think about this, folks. He is that's a pretty big step to at least be able to have the Mexican officials take any responsibility here. Any responsibility for how for what happens for people going through their country. They never usually do, right? They're like, "Yeah, whatever. Good luck." But now it seems like they actually are participating in this. And I'll give Trump credit for that. You should give him credit for that. I mean, it's stuff like that that is going to ensure his reelection that Democrats don't understand. The fact that he is able to, even if it is in a way that makes these ivory tower liberals recoil, like, I can't believe we're not doing this. This is the pearl clutching that takes place here is on an epic level. But how else are you supposed to keep any kind of semblance of law? That's the thing. It's about maintaining some semblance of law. You can even ask people that are not supposed right wingers or not right wingers in general. You know, should we at least have some kind of order here with people entering the United States? Most people be like, yeah, I mean, that's probably a little bit easier to have than a free for all where everybody shows up. And that would make more sense. So let's get back into the article. The UN officials will assess refugees while they are staying at the shelters at Mexico's southern border. Once a person is deemed to have a legitimate claim, they could be placed in the U.S. or any other host country that has an agreement. So, at least in theory, as of right now, you have some kind of system in place. Where's the UN been for all this other stuff? I mean, you and I know the UN is just a mockery. And they're no good for anything. But at least here, we see something being done. And that's another reason why people don't get Trump. They just don't get it. That's a win for him. Yeah, you're not going to win when you see 4,000 people, you know, they're caravanning up, but they don't look like they're in a lot of distress. And then people make note of the videos where money's being handed out to them as they stop in different places. And people make note of the supply trucks and the support apparatus that is in place for these 4,000 people. And you could also note that everything is, it has to be well organized. And I'll say this, I haven't heard anybody else say this, but they probably have. You cannot have 4,000 people doing anything to that level of civility and cooperation without an overarching infrastructure in place. You just can't. To have that many people being in one place without constant fighting or constant assault being perpetrated on each other and so forth. So there's a lot of stuff that if you only had the legacy media, you'd be like, oh my gosh, this lady Judy, she needs help, and she probably does. But is this the answer? What about the guy we talked about yesterday, Henry Tejas, or whatever his name was, when he said, yeah, I just left my wife and four kids and I'm gonna go get political asylum. Yeah, you're not gonna get a lot of sympathy here in the United States with that one. Not gonna go too far. 844-527-8723. So as of right now, that is what we have as far as the caravan. It looks like it's gonna be stopped at the Mexico border, which I'll take. You know, Mexico actually stepping up and playing a role in who comes in their country and who doesn't. Now, will it work perfectly? Probably not. But we'll see. You're listening to The Bad Brief here on the Crusade Channel, king-size truth from radio-size speakers. I'm going over the events of today, and if you want to be a part of the conversation, give me a call at 844-527-8723. Let's turn over now to the LifeSite News, where it says Twitter, and this was released yesterday, Twitter locks LifeSite out of account for gay fact-based post on rise in gay STDs. This is by LifeSite News, no writer credited. Of course, remember, this was from yesterday. It says Twitter just locked LifeSite News out of our Twitter account over an article they posted 4 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, 4 years ago, that provided expert analysis on the rise in sexually transmitted diseases among homosexuals. So obviously, they're hitting all kinds of sacred cows on this one, so they must be shut down. Immediately. So, let's see what else here. In the 2014 piece by Dr. Gerald Nada, a molecular biologist and microbiologist who is also president and CEO of the Coalition for Abortion Breast Cancer, or the Coalition on Abortion and Breast Cancer, he responds to media coverage of what was at the time the Center for Disease Control and Prevention's annual new report on STDs. Now, remember, this is 4 years ago where they're tracking through things. Contrary to the consensus that the, quote, reason for the documented continued rise in syphilis, primarily affecting homosexuals, has more to do with homophobia than anything else, unquote. That was the reason. Dr. Ndahl attributed the rise to such factors as, quote-unquote, upward trend in unprotected relations, unquote, and 60% of homosexual men failing to disclose their symptoms or status to their partners, if they even knew, because any of y'all that remember your health classes, and I actually taught health for the last 2 years of my teaching career at the charter school. I taught health to 8th graders. So that was fun. 844-527-8723. You'll know that diseases like syphilis and gonorrhea and those, they're actually a lot of times they're asymptomatic, or the symptoms are very mild that people don't even know it. And that's another reason why even among heterosexual couples or heterosexual people today in the younger generations, the Tinder and the Bumble and all the other generations, those people out there, that's why there's a skyrocketing case of STDs among them as well. But we're talking about this piece from LifeSite News where they actually been locked out of Twitter for a four-year-old article under the guise of hate speech. And when, of course, this goes to a popular hashtag that is on LifeSite News about hate facts, or no, I'm sorry, on Twitter, that's hate facts. You know, anytime you present a fact like this, they're like, oh, that's so bigoted. How can this fact be bigoted? It's about you. It's about your behavior. I'm not going to cover up a statistic about how the rise in syphilis among gay men is. Oh, it's because of homophobia. No, homophobia is not a thing that, like, makes syphilis jump from person to person on the street. Because, so you're telling me syphilis is like Venom the symbiote? They're looking for homosexual men in, like, San Francisco, jumping from gay man to gay man? Oh, there's one. Get close. Oh, I've got him. And then that's it? And they just spread around? No. When you say it like that, that doesn't make sense. This is a fact based on their behavior. Just like the fact that within, let's take white people, there's a rise in single families. So it's a behavior. It's not being mean. It is a report on your behavior. And that's why Twitter locking out LifeSite News for this for 4 years ago too. And it's very, we'll get back into it in a moment, but it's ridiculous. If you want to ban somebody for something they post immediately, like I got into Twitter trouble a while back for something I posted, and I actually read it. I was like, yeah, I can see that was just me writing too quickly, so I'll delete it. If it was something like where Alexis Bonolo wrote something, and he got suspended for a hate fact as well. It was a very basic question. They said, nope, we're going to suspend you. Well, why? It's a question. Nope. It's a hate question. You can't just put hate in front of any word that you want and then justify you suspending people. Yes, we can. That's a hate statement. And then they just ban you. 844-527-8723. All right, it's the bottom of the hour. I'm going to talk to you guys about my founder's trading post, Spotlight of the Month, which is the Pocket Constitution, which you can get by going to MikeChurch.com/shop, S-H-O-P. The National Center for Constitutional Studies has printed a special edition copy of the Constitution of the United States that has been proofed word for word against the original Constitution housed in the archives in Washington, D.C. It is identical in spelling, capitalization, and punctuation. This 48-page pocket Constitution also includes the Bill of Rights, Amendments 11 through 27, the Declaration of Independence, and a complete index of the Constitution. And did you know that if you do go to MikeChurch.com/shop and purchase my founder's trading post Spotlight of the Month, which is the Pocket Constitution, you can get the King Dude, Mike Church himself, to sign a copy of it, your copy of it. You do that by going to MikeChurch.com/shop, and that is where you will find my founder's trading post Spotlight of the Month, the Pocket Constitution. That's the founder's trading post, which you can get to by going to MikeChurch.com/shop. Don't forget, while you're there, check out the Catholic Corner, the rosaries from the Little Bayou Rosary, the Crusade Capuchin Dark Roast Coffee, the many, many books that are on sale, and so forth. All the amazing things, the convert bumper sticker and t-shirts that are out there. Go check it out. Help support the channel. Shop at the Founders Trading Post, MikeChurch.com/shop. And while you're there, pick up my Founders Trading Post Spotlight of the Month, which is the Pocket Constitution. 844-527-8723, MikeChurch.com/chat, S-H-O-T, if you want to be a part of the Mike Church Show chat room. One person tried to revive it, and then nothing happened, so it's kind of quiet. I get it, it's a Friday. Maybe everybody's in line waiting for lottery tickets. If you win, if you do buy a lottery ticket during the Barrett Brief here on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth and Radio Size Speakers, and you win, you owe me. First of all, you need to take the lump sum, and you owe me $1 million. Okay, good. I'm glad we got that out of the way. Back into the article here from LifeSite News, saying Twitter locks out LifeSite News for hate facts. Everybody, yeah, I say lottery tickets. Oh, look at that! I only laugh because I mentioned lottery tickets, and everybody jumped in the chat room and actually woke up. You people. You guys are ridiculous. Although I would be the same way. Let's get back into the article. Now, contrary to the consensus that the, quote, reason for the documented continuance... Oh, no, I already read that. Now, Dr. Nate Dow cited data from mainstream sources such as the CDC, a then-recent New York Times report, in a 2006 study in the Journal of AIDS Behavior. On October 18th, 2018, however, LifeSite News received the following message notifying staff that Twitter was locking the account because of the 2014 tweet sharing the story's neutral, factual headline violated, quote, our rules against hateful conduct. And it somehow promoted violence against threatened or harassed other people on the basis of sexual orientation or serious disease. I'm pretty sure they didn't lock out the CDC when that was pushed out, or the New York Times when they commented on the story. No, but LifeSite News has a specific point of view that Twitter just doesn't like. So it doesn't shock me. Now, we're going back into the article. No further elaboration was given. The length of time for the lockout was not specified. The only recourse offered for LifeSite News was to remove the tweet or start an appeals process. Now, I bring it up again because when I had Brother Alexis Bonolo from Ordo Militaris on the Bear Briefer and the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers, he said the same thing. He said, my question I asked to the Prime Minister or to the English Immigration Services, it's a basic question, but Twitter told me I had to either delete it, meaning I did something wrong, or start an appeals process. So they get you either way. They're like, you can appeal it, which that's a losing effort. You and I know, oh, you can totally appeal it. Who do I appeal to? Oh, you appeal it to the same company that decided to block the tweet in the first place. So it's not like you're going to get some kind of neutral tribunal to look at this thing. So, honestly, the only thing they want you to do is they want you to delete it. And by deleting it, you are admitting fault. 844-527-8723. Back into the article. Let's see. Steve Jasavik, who is the co-founder and president of LifeSite News, said, this is a total intolerance even for reporting government health department statistics that reveal the health dangers of homosexual activity betrays what Peter Thiel, himself a homosexual, previously called a totalitarian mindset in Silicon Valley. Remember, it's an oligarchy of people that control the conduits of information right now. You either look through legacy news, good luck with that, or you try to use social media. So your legacy news is housed in New York and Washington, D.C., mostly New York. And your social media presence is lodged in Silicon Valley. That's where that is. So these small oligarchies of people who control these conduits of information. What's a conduit to information? YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram to an extent. We can even point to domain hosts like GoDaddy and others. They're conduits of information because they are the entry point to which you get onto the internet if you want to post anything. So you have this totalitarian mindset in Silicon Valley, which is absolutely correct, which is what Peter Thiel said, which is, by the way, I'll just say this, I'm not a big Peter Thiel fan, but he moved out of Silicon Valley because of that. I mean, he went to L.A., so it wasn't that big of a jump. But how bad is it when you have to go to L.A. to escape the totalitarian mindset of another place? Because it's just, in my opinion, as a Texan, that's just as bad. 844-527-8723. Let's see. He continued, Twitter is now trying to force news agencies to report only what is acceptable to their personal biased views and shutting down balanced factual reporting on an issue such as homosexuality. True, folks. I'm jumping out of the article here. Obviously, it's true, right? This is a CDC report. Hate speech. No. We're not trying to say that. It's a report from the government that says that. Nope, that's hate. Well, then you're telling me that the government is posting hate speech. If my tweet saying, look at this report from the CDC is hate speech, then is not the government hate speech? And then once their head spins around a couple times, they kind of just shut down. So, 844-527-8723, facebook.com/BearBrief, mikechurch.com/chat. Continuing, Jasivic said, this is getting dangerous for our democracy. Well, first of all, Jasivic, it's a republic. I don't like people that swap out the words because they're not the same. Since a free press is one of the basic and necessary foundations for a genuine democratic society. He continued, this is getting scary. It is in everyone's interest to fight this type of action and even demand government intervention to protect our rights. Now, Mike Church talked about this a little bit, and I'm going to echo what he said. The fact that you are running to the federal government to try and fix this is part of the problem. If California wants to be like that, but let Texas be able to regulate this however they want. It's a Texas-level issue, or Louisiana, or California, New York, whatever issue it is. So, there's that. And then we'll finish this article. Just the day before, former LifeSite News reporter and American for Truth About Homosexuality, or the AFTAH.org president, Peter Barbera, revealed to LifeSite News that Twitter had recently banned him on the same grounds over a 2016 tweet describing homosexuality as a sin that spreads disease. La Barbera said, if Twitter no longer allows its users to advocate for healthy behaviors on its platforms and to defend their sincere moral and religious beliefs already shared by billions worldwide, then it will devolve into a bland, politically correct echo chamber. Here's the thing, and that's the end of the article. Twitter already isn't real life. People actually think Twitter is real life. It couldn't be anything further from the truth. Twitter is not real life. That's why people who think Beto O'Rourke actually has a chance to win here in Texas based on his Twitter presence. When it's like, nah, it's not real. You can have hashtags for whatever you want. Twitter represents such a small part of the population. But because it's echoed by legacy media and other variants of the media, it is given a bigger presence. So, there you go, folks. More people are being banned and restricted from using the platform. Of course, that kind of ties into the Supreme Court case that's happening in New York, where it's Manhattan Neighborhood News versus some people who were critical of the network. Long story short, the reason that the court is looking at the case is because the people in Manhattan News or Neighborhood Network said that they could use that precedent to pry open social media companies to regulation. So we'll see if that happens. 844-527-8723. Now, I have two. Somebody brought up something in the chat room that I want to actually address. It's about the Saudi or whatever, the Islamic journalist that worked for the Washington Post that was killed. And however, the fact is, this is just a false flag operation to kind of distract from a terrible news cycle for Democrats. That's my first opinion of it. And my second opinion is the guy was not an American. He worked for the Washington Post, which means nothing to me, but apparently people in the media take all of these things as if they are the be all end all. Now, yes, you can argue about the impact of the Saudis and other Middle Eastern countries and how much they buy weapons wise and so forth and how they are essentially funding jobs programs. But I'll say this much. It's not an issue for us. It's an issue between Turkey or wherever he was murdered and those countries. Not our deal. I don't care. And I'll just go back to that. I know people want to talk about it left and right and this and that. Folks, I see it as nothing but distractions. That's all it is. It's just a distraction. 844-527-8723. Moving on. Last story of hour one here on the Barrow Brief on the Crusade Channel. King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. Coming up in hour two, my review. Not my review. I'm going to go through a review from National Review on Halloween, the new movie coming out this week. I did not get a chance to see it. I may try to see it tonight. I may not. Either way. From National Review's Kyle Smith called A Right-Wing Halloween. And then I got this awesome poll from Gallup. Snapshot. Majority in U.S. now oppose ban on assault rifles. I had to write. I have to cover this because I know the people writing that headline, it probably hurt them so much to actually write it because they're so anti-gun. But those two stories and more coming up in hour two here on the Barrett Brief, along with your market report from CNBC as well. But let's get to this article from Church Militant. Federal government launches criminal probe into Catholic Church in Pennsylvania. Let's see. The federal government has issued subpoenas to multiple Pennsylvania dioceses in a criminal probe into sex abuse cover-up. The subpoenas were served last week, but news of the investigation only broke on Thursday. So far, 7 out of 8 Pennsylvania dioceses have confirmed that they have received subpoenas. Some of them are Erie, Philadelphia, Harrisburg, Allentown, Scranton, Pittsburgh, and Greensboro. Oh, well, there you go. That's 7 out of the 8. Some stating they will cooperate with the investigation. 2 Eastern Catholic dioceses are also being investigated. The Byzantine Archpatriarchy of Pittsburgh and the Ukraine Catholic of Philadelphia as well. And the investigation is being spearheaded by the U.S. Attorney General William McSwain, who is asking clergy to testify before a grand jury in Philadelphia with regards to possible federal crimes. Bishops are being asked to turn over documents stored in their secret archives, which contain information about clergy misconduct, including sex abuse. Bishops are also being asked to hand over evidence of priests transporting children across state lines for illegal purposes, priests sending or receiving sexual imagery on their phones or computers, clergy being told not to contact law enforcement, and predator priests being reassigned or money being used for illegal purposes. Now, I've been saying this from the beginning. I'm jumping out of the article. I've been saying this from the beginning. If the bureaucracy within the American church, that being the USCCB, continues to block and continues to make things difficult for the light of truth to actually make its way, then let the secular authorities do their thing. If they have to perp walk every single one of these predators, these people who take advantage of innocence, these evil men, I'm fine with it. I know some people go, oh, they clutch their pearls super hard because I can't believe it. No, do it. Absolutely. Investigate them. Isn't that right? If you're asking me, should they? My only response to you is this. Do it. Of course, that didn't work out. Thank you for that. I'm going to Flippy, when I tell you to queue up the actual sound, cue up the actual sound, please, instead of giving me stuff that doesn't work. No, don't do it now. That doesn't work. Ugh. I feel like Iron Man with that robot that didn't work. Yeah, that's me with Flippy right now. Must be because it's Friday. You're listening to the Bear Brief here on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. Talking about this article from Church Militant, how federal government launches criminal probe into Catholic Church in Pennsylvania. 844-527-8723. So, as I'm saying, if that's how it needs to be done, let it be done. If we need to have all these guys walked out in handcuffs, doesn't bother me. Michelle Garabian, the famous Boston lawyer, helped expose a sex abuse scandal in 2012, expressed surprise by the subpoenas. This is the first time I've ever heard of federal investigation into child sexual abuse in the Catholic Church or diocese. He said, this is a monumental moment for clergy sexual victims everywhere. After Pennsylvania Attorney General Josh Shapiro published the bombshell grand jury report in mid-August, Shapiro explained that he had received phone calls from the Department of Justice. In an interview with the New York Times, Shapiro was asked about the possibility of a federal probe into sex abuse cover-up in the church. Shapiro said, "I have spoken with representatives of the Department of Justice. Beyond that, I do not think it would be prudent for me to comment." And he continued. Now, we'll jump down a little bit in the article. Church Militant has published a series of investigative reports on the Buffalo Diocese involving current Bishop Richard Malone, accused of grossly underreporting the number of accused priests. He publicly claimed his diocese had 42 accused priests, when the number was more than twice that, as well as placing notorious abuser Father Dennis Ritter, accused of awful acts, which I won't read here, back into active ministry. Malone is also implicated in the possible murder of whistleblower priest Father Joseph Moreno, found dead in his rectory in 2012, only days after he was scheduled to visit the papal nuncio with a file exposing homosexual abuse and corruption in the diocese. A number of irregularities at the crime scene, including two bullet wounds in the back of his head, lack of gunpowder, residue, or blood splatter, the near impossibility of shooting himself with his left hand, which suffered irreparable nerve damage, video footage showing three black hooded men running from the rectory, and items broken or missing from the rectory, thrown into serious doubt whether the official story that Moreno committed suicide. Now, Dan from Canada, welcome to the Bear Brief here on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. How are you, my friend?
Doing good. How are you doing today?
Always happy to talk to you. What's on your mind?
Well, I just listened to this comment about the, what is it, a federal grand jury probe into,
yeah.
In, well, I'll tell you what, I think that Shapiro guy is full of crap.
Really?
Okay, and I'll tell you why.
Okay,
so he goes and he probes into this, and he comes up with one indictment.
Okay.
Out of 300 cases, he comes up with one indictment. And then what he proceeds to do is publish all the information about the people that the priests that didn't get the indictment. And so those guys are being falsely accused. There's nothing to it.
Okay, so you think that Shapiro used that opportunity to kind of go gangbusters on the rest of the church?
Absolutely. This problem has always been a Catholic-Jewish fight.
Okay.
Now, Mr. Shapiro is Jewish. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is a money grab.
Okay.
There is no, I mean, you know, like, they did this probe before a few years ago, and they didn't come up with any indictments. So I just think this is, just psychological warfare.
So what do you think the difference is of the probe before and this one? What's the major difference? Why do you think he felt comfortable enough to do it?
I think it's all about getting money. Because, all they want to do is they want to, okay, what is it, Mr. Shapiro? Is it homosexuality or is it pedophilia? That's the question, I think. Okay? And when that question's answered, okay, what is it, which is clear, it's clearly homosexuality. Okay?
Yeah.
Then why is it wrong for McCarrick to be a homosexual and some CEO of, or what's the difference between a Catholic and somebody else?
Well, I mean, let me unpack that a little bit. Why is it different there? Because the Catholic Church, A, is opposed to homosexuality, but B, it's kind of become, ironically enough, if we've delved into this subject a couple times, it's kind of almost become a safe space due to communist infiltrations. I mean, all this stuff is documented in books. I forgot the name of the author, but I have her book on order. That it's become kind of a safe space for these homosexuals to act without fear of consequence. They're moved around and so forth. As opposed to a CEO, I think there's more, I hate to say it like this, it feels like there's more accountability in those corporations because they don't have the protection of the church, of being a religious organization and having that bureaucracy and other things that the Catholic Church has created in a way.
These people like Shapiro and, mm-hmm. and the rest of them, they want to call it pedophilia. Now, my question to Josh is, what is it, Josh? is it pedophilia or is it homosexuality? And if it's homosexuality, well, that's what they've been pushing. Corporation, like, okay, Lloyd Blankfein, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's the CEO of Goldman Sachs. He is for homosexuality and also, surprise, surprise, he's for usury. So
yeah.
I think we need to get the connection here. That's what I think.
Well, it's a definitely, and I'm running out of time. I only got like a minute left before I go going up against the hard break, my friend Danny, so I got to let you go. But I do appreciate you calling, as always, and bringing that perspective.
Well, thanks for taking my call.
Anytime, my friend. I appreciate it. What it is interesting when you look at motivations and so forth behind investigations. We'll never know Shapiro's motivations or any prosecutor's motivation. You could look at the motivation of the people who uncovered the scandal in Boston. But I'll take a step back. Motivations aside, for me, I do see where Danny's coming from, but I also understand that in the long run, that's not... It may be an issue. I'd have to be more read up on it. But if it gets the people who are abusing the faith out of the church, I'll take that first, and then we can kind of sort all the other stuff later. Let's clean the church out first, and then figure out everything else along the way. So that's it for hour one of the Barrett Brief here on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. Coming up in hour two, I got this awesome poll from Gallup where they legitimately shot themselves in the foot because they've been pushing gun control. And now they're like, oh yeah, majority of people don't actually want gun control. Plus my review, well, not my review. I'm going to read a review of Halloween. We're going to talk about that as well. And more stories here on the Barrett Brief on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. We will be back after these brief messages here on the Crusade Channel.
And then we have political correctness, which is the joy that is the other side of health and safety, which is a small oppression of our physical movement, so we can't do anything without permission from the state. And political correctness is the oppression of our intellectual movement, so no one says anything anymore in case somebody else gets offended. What happens if you say that and someone gets offended? Well, they can be offended. What's wrong with being offended? When did sticks and stones may break my bones stop being relevant? Isn't that what you teach children, for God's sake? That's what you teach toddlers. He called me an idiot. Don't worry about him. He's a dick. Now you have adults going, I was offended. I was offended and I have rights. Well, so what? Be offended. Nothing happens. You're an adult. Grow up. Deal with it. I was offended. I don't care. Nothing happens when you're offended. There's nothing. I went to the comedy show and the comedian said something about the Lord and I was offended. And when I woke up in the morning, I had leprosy. Nothing happens. I want to live in a democracy, but I never want to be offended again. Well, you're an idiot. Law about offending people. How do you make it an offense to offend people? Being offended is subjective. That has everything to do with you as an individual or a collective or a group or a society or a community, your moral conditioning, your religious beliefs. What offends me may not offend you. And you want to make laws about this? I'm offended when I see boy bands, for God's sake. It's a valid offence. I'm offended. They're corporate shills posing as musicians to further a modelling career, and frankly, I'm disgusted. Right? But what am I going to do? Call the cops? Hello, it's me again. They're on the telly this time. Five of them, that's it. Yeah, white suits, dancing like girls, that's them. 5 minutes, I'll be out the front traumatised. Bye.
Right. Be offended. Nobody cares. Welcome back to hour two of the Bear Brief here on the Crusade Channel. King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. Coming at you live from the Republic of Texas. I'm your humble host, Captain Middle America himself, Rick Barrett. Apparently, if you look in the chat room, I'm in desperate need for a hug. Isn't that right, A.A. Ron? If you want to see what he's talking about, go to mikechurch.com/chat, C-H-A-T. You can also call me at 844-527-8723. Send me one of those electronic mails, barrettbrief@gmail.com, barrettbrief@gmail.com. Same handle for the Twitter feed, barrettbrief, facebook.com/barrettbrief as well. And if you're in line for lottery tickets right now and you are listening to the show on your headphones because you're awesome, and you win, you owe me, like, one... We'll call it the Elizabeth Warren rule this week. If you win this lottery, you owe me 1,024th of the $500 million, which I'll still take. Yeah, I'll take it. 844-527-8723. Let's get a check on the market and the tech sector from CNBC. And after that, we're going to go to Gallup and revel in this amazing new snapshot poll they have, where a majority in the U.S. now oppose a ban on assault rifles, which is awesome, because you know their hands the entire time, like, I don't want to write this. It's like, yeah, write it. We're going to talk about the new Halloween film. We have a review from Kyle Smith. I did not get to see it last night. One thing led to another. I just didn't get there. We're also going to talk about Gosnell and where it stands box office-wise. And if you have not seen it, what you can do to get out there and help out the Gosnell film, because it did great last week, and we want to keep it going. We want to get that message out there and continued to be out there so people go see it. It is probably one of the most important social films that we have an opportunity to impact in a long time. And we should definitely do that. So we're going to cover that. We're going to cover a couple other things and more here on the Barrett Brief on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. And if you want to be a part of it, I want you to call 844-527-8723. All right, let's get our check of the markets. Dow Jones Industrials at 25,432, which is up 50. S&P 500's at 2,771, which is 0.2. NASDAQ's at 7,462, which is down 22.51. Now let's get a check on what's going on in the tech sector from CNBC as well. Here on the Bad Brief on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers.
I'm Aditi Roy with your CNBC Tech Check. Venmo was a star of PayPal's quarterly earnings report yesterday. Its payment volume grew 78% to $17 billion. CEO Dan Schulman saying it is still early, but this means their monetization efforts are reaching a tipping point. PayPal acquired Venmo in 2012. Elon Musk announced on Twitter that Tesla will be selling a new version of its Model 3. He wrote it cost $35,000 after federal and state tax rebates in California, but the true cost of ownership is closer to $31,000 after gas savings. Facebook has hired a former deputy prime minister to run its global affairs and communications unit. Nick Clegg replaces Elliot Schrage, and Clegg will report to COO Sheryl Sandberg. This comes as Facebook sees increasing pressure from Europe about data privacy. And San Francisco is set to get its first Amazon Go cashierless store. It's set to open in SF's Financial District, according to the San Francisco Chronicle. Amazon already has 3 stores in its hometown of Seattle and 2 stores in Chicago. From CNBC, I'm Aditi Roy.
All right, there's your check of what's going on in the tech sector. Maybe if you win the lottery this weekend and you take the lump sum, by the way, a little bit of advice here from your friendly Barrett, from your friendly neighborhood Barrett Brief. Take the lump sum. Don't fall into one of these traps of taking the payments. You don't take the payments, because if you die, you don't get all of it. You take the lump sum. Take the tax hit up front and take the whole thing. Right, Flippy? Flippy, will you calculate that, please? All right. He's still working on it. I'm sorry, folks. He's, you know, technology. What can I say, right? Anyway, if you win, maybe you can actually afford a Tesla Model 3. 844-527-8723. Let's get to this article from Gallup, which is fantastic. Came out today. You know they put it out on a Friday because they didn't want anybody to read this, because they've been pushing out article after article after article about how, you know, thanks to David Boss Hogg and Everytown and all these other people, that people are all about the new gun control, and everybody wants guns. This doesn't help them. And I mean, they've had nothing but the momentum on their side. They've had nothing but momentum on their side in regards to coverage and so forth. We're the new generation and we're going to win. And no, you're not. I don't care. Be offended. So let's read it, because it's just so good. Snapshot. Majority in UNES. I'm so excited about this article, I can't even read it, folks. Snapshot. Majority in U.S. now oppose ban on assault rifles. By Megan Brennan. Apparently, she was the one who drew the short straw and actually had to read or write this whole thing up. American support for a ban on semi-automatic guns in the U.S. has dropped 8 percentage points from a year ago, when opinions were more evenly divided after the mass shooting in Las Vegas. Last year's measure was unusually high for the trend over the past several years. The current 40% is back within a few points of where it was between 2011 and 2016. The latest findings from October 1st through the 10th survey marked the eighth time since 1996 that Gallup has gauged the public opinion on banning quote-unquote scary semi-automatic guns. The scary is my emphasis, not theirs. Known as assault rifles. You know, the ones that everybody thinks sprays like a billion bullets at once and so forth. And just the ghost gun. Because we have to do the we have to remember how politicians think of the ghost gun. So when they think of banning these semi-automatic guns, what they're really talking about, or what Democrats want you to believe, is this. This is from, I believe, 2014. It's California State Senator Kevin DeLeon, who's a Democrat from Los Angeles. This, when they say banning semi-automatic guns known as assault rifles, this is how absolutely uninformed they are, but it's always great to listen to.
This is a gun. This right here has ability with a 30 caliber clip.
30 caliber clip.
To disperse with 30 bullets within half a second.
30 bullets in half a second.
30 magazine clip.
Does not exist.
In half a second.
30 magazine clip in half a second, folks. The ghost gun. So, of course, when they say that, it's like, of course we need to ban that. First of all, your gun would melt. But that's the people you're dealing with. So when, and that's the 40% that think they need to ban that. 844-527-8723. I love it. I always love playing that clip because it's so great. This has a 30 caliber magazine clip that disperses a billion bullets in half a second with no clip magazine switch. has forever infinite mode. Yeah, A.A. Ron, if that was the case, I would have 100 of those by now. anyways, get back to this awesome poll from Gallup where, despite Every Town and Mom Demands Actions and David Boss Hogg and Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama and every anti-gun celebrity that uses guns like Jamie Lee Curtis saying that guns need to be bad, people are like, yeah, you know what? No, absolutely not. The background support for banning assault rifles has changed over time. In 1994, Bill Clinton signed a ban on these scary-looking assault weapons in the U.S. When Gallup first asked Americans about such ban in 1995, 57% were in favor and 42% opposed. By the time the 10-year ban expired in 2004, support had fallen to 50%. In recent years, opinion has generally been against such a law, and attempts to pass a new ban, like after Newtown, Connecticut, was defeated in 2013. That's because we realize that evil has many means to do things, not just guns. Currently, in 2016, 36% supported a ban and 61% opposed one, but last year, after the Las Vegas incident, support rose by 12 points. Of course, when you measure these things in the short term, people always jump. Yeah, I mean, people are based off, you're running off of emotion. That's why these things don't work. The current 40% for assault for these rifles is below the historical average of 47%. The latest data provided further evidence that public opinion typically shifts to higher support for tougher gun laws in the aftermath of traumatic national events. No kidding. You know why your assault weapon ban thing is never going to work? I'll tell you why. Yeah. That's why. people don't want that kind of, first of all, you don't want any kind of regulation coming from the government. Second of all, if you do it, they'll find other ways to use it. Views on assault weapons on these bans have been sharply polarized politically since 1996. Democrats have been more supportive than Republicans of the ban. Currently, there are more than twice as many. There are more as twice as. What? Why do they write it like this? Currently, there are more than twice as likely as Republicans to favor such a ban. Republicans' current reading ties with 2016 as their lowest. The highest support for bans among each party was at 50% of Republicans in 1996, 63% of Democrats in 96, 2000. 2017, and 63% of independents in 2000. You ain't taking my guns. You ain't ever taking my guns. Do you know why? Yeah. That's why. Plus, I live in Texas. That ain't gonna happen. 844-527-8723. Let's do this. We're gonna go back to LifeSite News. And talk about this article that Mike Church of the Mike Church Show mentioned during his show, that Archbishop Carlo Vigano today issued a third explosive testimony in response to an open letter from Cardinal Mark Ouellette, prefect of the Congregation for Bishops. It's by Diane Montagan of LifeSite News. He starts off and he says, to bear witness to corruption in the hierarchy of the Catholic Church was a painful decision for me. It remains so, but I am an old man, one who knows he must soon give an accounting to the judge for his actions and omissions, one who fears him, who can cast body and soul into hell. He then continues with that opening statement. Therefore, I spoke is when we jumped a couple paragraphs. I mean, this thing's like multiple paragraphs long, so we're not going to read the whole thing, but we're going to highlight important parts. Therefore, I spoke, for it is the conspiracy of silence that has wrought and continues to wreak great harm in the church, harm to so many innocent souls, to young priestly vocations, to the faithful at large. With regard to my decision, which I have taken in conscience before God, I willingly accept every fraternal correction, advice, recommendation, and invitation to progress in my life of faith and love for Christ, the Church, and the Pope. And then he restates key points of his testimony, where he starts in November 2000 in the U.S. The U.S. Nuncio Archbishop Montalvo informed the Holy See of Cardinal McCarrick's homosexual behavior with seminarians and priests. And then he goes through the rest of them. Once again, there's at least 10 of them. So, and then we'll end on the final point. Pope Francis himself has either colluded in this corruption or, knowing what he does, is gravely negligent in failing to oppose it and uproot it. What I'll do is I will post this in the chat room if you guys want to read it. So that way, if you want to get all of it, you can. Because, like I said, I can't read the whole thing. Because I'm pretty sure the King Dude himself would be like, Rick, that's not compelling radio. You just reading from it. So don't read the whole thing. So I'm not going to. But I will post it so you guys can read it. It's in the Mike Church Show chat room. Yeah, I know. Read. I was elected to read, lead, not to read. and y'all saying, good, because we don't want you to read it anyway, because you'll stumble over the words, right? all right. The second part, I invoke God as my witness to the truth of my claims. And none has been shown false. Cardinal Ouellette has written to rebuke me for my tyranny in breaking silence and leveling such grave accusations against my brothers and superiors. But in truth, his remonstrance confirms me in my decision and even more serves to vindicate my claims severely and as a whole.
You guys in the chat room, you guys are brutal sometimes. I mean, it's like a locker room in there when the ladies leave after Mike Church's show and it's just the boys in that. It's like a high school locker room in there sometimes. You guys are awful. It's just boy talk. And quote President Trump, it's just locker room talk. He continues, and then he mentions, we'll just do the first point of each. Cardinal Ouellette concedes that he spoke with me about McCarrick's situation prior to my leaving for Washington to begin my post as nuncio. Cardinal Ouellette concedes that he communicated to me in writing about conditions and restrictions imposed on McCarrick by Pope Benedict. And then he keeps going on. What does Cardinal Ouellette dispute? Let's see. He disputes the possibility that Pope Francis could have taken an important information about McCarrick on a day when he met scores of nuncios and give each only few moments of conversation. But this was not my testimony. My testimony is that a second private meeting, I informed the Pope, answering his own questions about Theodore McCarrick, then Cardinal Archbishop Emeritus to Washington, prominent figure of the Church in the U.S., telling the Pope that McCarrick had sexually corrupted his own seminarians and priests. No Pope could forget that. Once again, I'm reading the third testimony by Archbishop Carlo Vigano. That's on LifeSite News here on the Bad Brief on the Crusade Channel. King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. We're not reading the whole thing. We're only giving bits and pieces. Let's see here. What else? The last point, Cardinal Ouellette disputes that it is false to present the measures taken against McCarrick as, quote-unquote, sanctions decreed by Pope Benedict and canceled by Pope Francis. True, they were not technically sanctions, but provisions, quote, conditions and restrictions, unquote. To quibble whether they were sanctions or provisions or something else is pure legalism. From a pastoral point of view, they are exactly the same thing. So, it's just one of those he's just doubling down, which is good. You know, he knows he has to answer for his life. And he says it even in his letter. I am an old man and I am soon to answer for these things. And, you know, when we get to that point, folks, we all kind of say, well, we have to make sure that we don't leave anything there. Because what is it? The final three, death, judgment, and then either heaven or hell. Let's see.
He continues, we're going to pick up certain paragraphs here and there. It is well established that homosexual predators exploit clerical privilege to their advantage, he writes. But to claim the crisis itself to be clericalism is pure sophistry. It is to pretend that a means, an instrument, is in fact the main motive. Denouncing homosexual corruption and the moral cowardice that allows it to flourish does not meet with congratulation in our times, not even in the highest spheres of the church. I'm not surprised that in calling attention to these plagues, I am charged with disloyalty to the Holy Father and with fomenting an open and scandalous rebellion. Let me jump out. That's very strange. Considering that there's an open rebellion going on within the church anyway. I don't know if you were on the Twitter's feed, but or if you caught that picture of Pope Francis with his multicolored cross a couple days ago as he was at his youth synod. And of course you had people going out and being like, obviously people don't realize that the rainbow is a symbol of peace and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then you had one guy who was like, oh, it's representation of the Latin American countries and doobie-deep-a-doo. Okay, yeah, fine. Show me another multicolored cross anywhere ever before now. And why is it being pushed at this specific synod? Just answer me those questions. So, and like the staff of Gandalf, what was that all about? What's going on here? And the fact that we aren't told any of these things, we're kind of left to just sit here and wonder instead of being guided. So I think it's very fitting that he's writing, hey, I'm being charged with disloyalty and fomenting an open and scandalous rebellion, when you could make the argument pretty effectively that Vigano is trying to fight off this rebellion that is happening in the church right now. So, let's see. Yet, rebellion would entail urging others to topple the papacy. I'm urging no such thing. I pray every day for Pope Francis more than I have ever done for other popes. I'm asking, indeed, earnestly begging the Holy Father to face up to the commitments he himself made in assuming his office as successor of Peter. He took upon himself the mission of confirming his brothers and guiding all souls in following Christ and in the spiritual combat along the way of the cross. Let him admit his errors, repent, show his willingness to follow the mantle given to Peter, and once converted, let him confirm his brothers, which he quotes Luke 22:32. And then Mike read it this morning. I'll read it one more time because it bears repeating, because it is a very well-written final paragraph. By the way, Jeff in the chat room, it's two T's. Y'all make fun of me for not being able to say correct words. It's two R's, two T's. Look at AA Ron. He spelled it right. I mean, it's even in my stupid handle. Correct your name. Log out and log back in and fix my name here. Back into the article. In closing, I wish to repeat my appeal to my brother, bishops, and priests who know that my statements are true and who can testify or who have access to documents that can put the matter beyond doubt. You, too, are faced with a choice. You can choose to withdraw from the battle to prop up the conspiracy of silence and avert your eyes from the spreading of corruption. You can make excuses, compromises, and justifications that put off the day of reckoning. You can console yourselves with the falsehoods and the delusions that it will be easier to tell the truth tomorrow and then the following day, and so on. On the other hand, you can choose to speak. You can trust him who told us the truth will set you free. I do not say it will be easy to decide between silence and speaking. I urge you to consider which choice, on your deathbed, and then before the just judge, you will not regret having made. Carl Vigano, Archbishop. So, brave man, Archbishop Carlo Vigano. Not running away and not being a sissy when called out. Thank you, Jeff. And not shriveling up when faced with spiritual and not physical, but rhetorical combat being cast out and spoken down about, yet does not, he does not fear these people, because with the, sometimes the quote is true, if God's on our side, if God's with us, who can be against us? So, there you go. I posted it in the chat room. If you want to read it for yourself, you can. Here on the Bad Brief and the Crusade Channel, King Size, Truth From Radio Size Speakers, we just finished reading the letter from Archbishop Vigano, his third testimony to what he has said. You should definitely read the whole thing for yourself, because I can only read so much of it. 844-527-8723. Bomb of the hour, so I want to talk to you guys about my Founders Trading Post Spotlight of the Month, which is the Pocket Constitution. The National Center for Constitutional Studies has printed a special edition copy of the Constitution of the United States that has been proofed word for word against the original Constitution housed in the archives in Washington, D.C. It is identical in spelling, capitalization, and punctuation. This 48-page pocket Constitution also includes the Bill of Rights, Amendments 11 through 27, the Declaration of Independence, and a complete index of the Constitution. And also, did you know you can get Mike Church, the King Dude himself, to sign your pocket Constitution? How do you do that? You go to MikeChurch.com/chat. Well, no, shop, S-H-O-P. MikeChurch.com/shop. That's the Founders Trading Post. And in the Founders Trading Post, my spotlight of the month is the Pocket Constitution. Once again, MikeChurch.com/shop. You can also pick up Crusade Capuchin Dark Roast Coffee, Mike Church Show cigars, which are amazing. I own a couple of them. I'm a big cigar guy. I love the cigars. The El Dude Corona cigars, the t-shirts that are out there, the Convert bumper sticker, the bumper stickers that are there. Folks, there's so much good stuff in the Mike Church Show Founders Trading Post, the Catholic Corner featuring the little Bayou Rosaries and so forth. So definitely check it out. MikeChurch.com/shop. My Founders Trading Post is the Pocket Constitution, which you can get Mike Church to autograph if you go to MikeChurch.com/shop. All right, now it's time for Film Industry Friday, where we're going to take a look at the film industry and see what is going on. Halloween is the only movie coming out this week, and right now it's projected to absolutely dominate. But the question is it any good? I mean, that is a pretty legitimate question to ask, especially considering the fact that most slasher films are pretty terrible. I mean, let's be real. Most of them are pretty bad. And there's about four or five people I'll read or look at before I go see a film, because they get to see these films before I do, the screeners. And people like Debbie, who gets to see them. And Debbie seemed to be very positive on the film this morning. If you missed it, stay tuned to the Crusade Channel this afternoon. Mike and Debbie's reviews will be on later on today. But she seemed to think it was fine. I've actually seen this film, at least reviewed-wise, be split. There's two people that I like to see, you know, not professional, but, you know, people get to see it. Two critics that just, one didn't like it, one was very frustrated with it, and two that just thought it was amazing. So, it's a 50-50 split. And that's unusual. Most of the time, you get a lot of positive. Everybody's usually on the positive side, or usually everybody's on the negative, with exceptions here and there. But it is very interesting, a lot of people coming out with this whole thing about Halloween is a little strange in the fact that it is the messages that are being pushed. And Kyle Smith of National Review echoes that as well when he calls it a right-wing Halloween, in which evil gets its due, and there's no feel-good lesson to be learned, except one, guns will protect you. Now, if you've seen any of the promos, there's not one promo that Jamie Lee Curtis does not have some kind of firearm in her hand, which is weird. I guess she lives in a weird place that she couldn't get a semi-automatic fire. Like, she couldn't get an AR-15 because she's walking around with, like, a Marlin lever action or a revolver, which I guess is better than nothing. But if I'm going up against Michael Myers, unless it's like a, you know, like a 410 lever action or something like that, I'm not really feeling great with a lever action rifle going up against like Michael Myers or Jason or any of these people. But hey, better than nothing, right? Let's see. The world is not a dark and evil place, insists one exasperated woman played by Judy Greer in Halloween. It is full of love and understanding. I put the question to the class, is she right? In the new film, Kyle writes, not a reboot, but a sequel that occurs 40 years after the events of the 1978 original and ignores all intervening Halloween movies. Now, if you do want to go see it, you have to understand that this is one of those X-Men Days of Future Past type films that retcons or just wipes away, like Halloween H2O, Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, Halloween, The Revenge of Mike Myers, all of those, they're gone. They don't exist anymore in the canon because canon's a big word and shared universes and stuff. And, you know, the only one you would need to see is Halloween and then this one. There's no other films you need to watch. Like the one with Busta Rhymes and all the those, which those ones got kind of campy and I thought that was fine. But in the new film, which is the direct sequel, but not a reboot, it's weird how they do these films now. Yeah, well, fun fact, A.A. Ron, the first part of True Lies, that mansion was filmed in Newport, Rhode Island. There you go. Now, the woman, a mom named Karen, is forever grumbling about her Paris Island-style upbringing. Her mother is Laurie Strode, played once again by Jamie Lee Curtis. Laurie has an excellent reason to be suspicious, to suspect the presence of dark and evil in the world, and taught her daughter from a young age about firearms, the fallen nature of man, the failures of the state, the blessings of rugged individualism, and the collected works of Russell Kirk. Okay, maybe not the last part, Kyle writes. But still, it does sound like, I just read that, Halloween is a gung-ho, gun-loving, liberal-trolling, capital-punishment-backing, conservative manifesto in the format of a slasher flick. Man, I think I might just want to go see this film anyway. I mean, the fallen nature of man, we talk about that all the time here on the Bear Brief. The failures of the state, huge topic here in the Bear Brief. Firearms are good, once again. Something we talk about, and rugged individualism. You know, it sounds like they base this character on Suzanne Sherman, who I, you know, formerly the Suzanne option, and now she's on the Service Radio Network, multiple shows, Case in Point and the Mark and Suzanne Show. You know, you drop Suzanne Sherman in a Halloween movie, Mike Myers ain't gonna stand a chance. She's gonna mess that dude up. And I guess that's who they base this new Laurie Strode on. So it's the kind of movie, the article continues, where if someone says he'd rather have dance lessons than shooting practice, he'll soon be corrected. Now, David Gordon Green was made everything from somber indie dramas to episodes of HBO's Eastbound and Down, directed Halloween and also co-wrote it with Danny McBride and Jeff Fradley. They hit the usual horror movie chords. Don't go into that room looking for the boogeyman, blah, 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 and generate a bog-standard level of scares. Halloween is at its best, though, when the filmmakers unobtrusively turn morbid about their characters and about the cliches of the slasher genre. One callback in particular got the most enthusiastic laughs I've heard in movies lately. As we begin, mask and blade enthusiast Michael Myers is in a mental institution, and eventually he gets out. I don't want to talk about that. Now, Laurie, interviewed by podcasters. So, of course, we want to update it with podcasters. Can't be awesome live radio like the Crusade Channel. But whatever. We don't want to hold it against them. So, she offers a shot of 200 proof truth. There is more to the story. There's no lesson to be learned. There's no understanding Michael Myers. He's just evil. It's a bracingly no-nonsense, i.e. conservative, view of humanity. Which is true. I mean, sometimes, don't we talk about, Mike Church talked about it when, at length, in some ways, that view talking about, but it's more of the Catholic view, not the conservative view. What they're very similar, except the Catholic view is more understanding of the supernatural realm. When you talk about somebody like Stephen Paddock, like, hey man, there's nothing to understand about that. The guy was possessed. All right. And that's what you'll get from a lot of conservatives. You'll get, all right, well. So, let's see here. A voice from the departed Dr. Loomis reminds us that putting Myers in an institution was a mistake. Should have been executed. Evil should face condemnation, not sympathy. That's the podcast. That the podcasters don't understand the basics of human nature makes them ripe for gruesome comeuppance. I can only hope that Green and company somehow devise a sequel in which the hosts of Pod Save America decide that a serial killer like Michael is the victim of dastardly Republican criminal justice policies and have him over for tea. If you don't know, Pod Save America is the stupid podcast hosted by one of Obama's stupid lackeys. The entire time Michael has been in prison, Lori has been waiting, indeed praying, for his release, because only then can an individual correct the failure of the state. Ha! Nice. One representative, therefore, even solemnly intones, he's property of the state, he mustn't be harmed. It's a brief but acidic reminder of how bureaucrats can get the arrow of protection turned the wrong way. Awaiting the inevitable escape of Michael, Lori has become a full-on prepper, with a panic room and an arsenal so large it would make Charles C.W. Cook whistle with admiration. An unexpected side benefit of the film is that Jamie Lee Curtis, a supporter of additional gun regulation, felt the need to clarify her position. She'd said the whole, I fully support the Second Amendment, blah, 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 blah. And she went, because she had to defend that. They're like, why do you have guns in this film? I mean, I thought you were anti-gun. And she's like, well, yeah, I fully support the Second Amendment for hunting and additional gun reforms. Yaddy, yaddy, yaddy. Lori's daughter comes to rethink her previous contention that her mom is paranoid. The climactic scene, I'm trying to read ahead here so I don't spoil anything. Although, it won't make a decision on whether you want to see it or not. The climactic scene with many male corpses strewn about the scenery, but three women standing tall constitute a witty reframing of Hollywood's most consuming notion these days, that the female is to be under threat. If so, Green's movie replies, women should fight back with shotguns. I think they should. But then again, I've always been a huge fan of the right to self-defense for anybody. I think you can't rely on the state or anybody to protect you from anything. But, hey, it sounds like something you should definitely check out if you're into the horror movie trope or not. I'm not into a lot of horror movies because, unfortunately, most modern slasher flicks, it's just an excuse for torture porn and boobs. That's all they do is they show, the Saw movies are gross and disgusting, and it's just stuff, it's really bad for you, but sometimes you're able to actually see a film, and you're like, oh, all right, well, that's not too bad. From what I read, that it's not really the case here. One of the reviewers that I follow, that she came out, she's like, this movie is very gory, but I didn't get that from anybody else. So it may just be, the Hostel, most Aaron, any horror movie, quote unquote horror movie from the last 10 years that you can mention is an excuse for, torture porn or torture disgustingness and boobs. That's literally one of the few ones that's not like that are the Jeeper Creeper movies, but those are from 2000, the early 2000s. So, I mean, they're not too bad. But honestly seems like anything after 2008, it's a little shock. Anything after 2008, and yes, I understand that horror movies in the past, even all the way back, a lot of them turn into just as bloody as can be and just obsessive or just ridiculous nudity. I've never seen Sinister. I'm also really, I'm such a wuss when it comes to horror movies, folks. I'm not even going to lie. You know, there's a lot of them I can't watch because, you know, I just can't. But that's okay. I'll own up to it. But, so you just got to be careful with that stuff. IMDb is a good place to go to before you go see a movie if you're concerned about things like nudity or stuff like that, because they'll give you a parental rating and a parental guide. I don't need hugs. I just don't want to go see them. All right. I just don't want to go see these movies. So I'll enjoy a good thriller, but just something. Even The Conjuring, dude. Folks, The Conjuring gave me nightmares. Just the first Conjuring movie. That one gave me some serious pause. No, I'm not trying to be a tough guy here. That's just how it goes. So, yeah, 844-527-8723. So that's the newest film coming out this weekend. It is Halloween. Apparently, it's not super slashery torture porn. But, I don't know. If you're into that kind of thing, maybe give it a shot, maybe not. All right. Second thing I want to talk about on Film Industry Friday is a movie that you all should be supporting in some way, shape, or form, and that is the Gosnell film. As of right now, folks, here are your... here's how the box office looks as of yesterday. You had A Star Is Born number one, Venom number two, First Man, da-da-da-da-da. You know what's number nine? Gosnell, folks. It is in the top 10. This independent film about the horrors of abortion and Gosnell and how terrible he is and what happens when you allow the state to go on and on. It's a little film that could. As of right now, it's at 1.6 million. So, I highly recommend one of two things. I know Mike Church of the Mike Church Show is heading out to see it at 1:30. He's going to really enjoy it. He'll probably end up... I'm gonna bet this much. I bet you Mike sees it twice this weekend. I bet you Mike sees it today, thinks it's so good that he's going to go back tomorrow. We'll see if I'm right on that one. Because, folks, it is a movie you actually have to see two or three times. Not because I'm trying to get you to spend your money on it, even though you should. But there are details that I missed when I saw it first. That the second time in the theater, I was actually able, there were things that I caught it. So it does warrant multiple viewings to catch some of the stuff that all the detail that is put into this film. Oh, by the way, breaking news. Twitter has restored LifeSite's account after thousands of protests online. I just got an email from LifeSite News telling me that. So, hey, there's some good news. Huzzah! LifeSite News has been reinstated on the Twitter feed. So, yay. Anyway, back into the Gosnell film. GosnellMovie.com is where you should go. I recommend that. And here's what I'm going to tell you, folks. If there is no theater near you, even though they actually expanded the theaters, here's what I'm going to tell you. Find the closest one to you, buy a ticket. Richard, I don't want to buy a ticket to a movie I'm not going to. And you know what? 9.9 times out of 10, I would agree with you. But for this type of film, the fact that the more people or the more tickets that are sold shows that the film actually will expand. They've been saying that because of your efforts, it's the number one indie movie in the U.S. And they actually sent out a tweet earlier this week that said if, thanks to your effort, they actually expanded out to, I think, 10 more theaters. It's a slow and steady slog, folks. The number of actual, you know, legitimate, we'll use, quote-unquote, legitimate film reviewers, only 6 of them actually reviewed it. All the people I follow, none of them even wanted to touch it because they're cowards. I get it. they're in the movie industry and they don't want to offend anybody, so they're not going to do it. I get it. Okay, that's fine. But I will. I will tell you guys from the mountains that you need to go see this movie. You need to support this movie somehow, even if it means just buying a ticket that to a film you'll never see in theaters. Because if it does very well on during its theatrical run, it could potentially get access to streaming markets that it wouldn't. Some people are saying Netflix or Amazon or any of these other places. That is all based on how well it does via its box office run. So if you can actually get more people to go see it, then that's a good thing. So that's one thing I'm asking, folks. I don't usually ask that kind of stuff, but if you can, if you have the ability to, like on Fandango or one of those other ones, if there's a theater, if you can't get to a theater, if there's one that's, you know, 9-10 hours away from you is the closest theater, buy a ticket for it. Because this is one of the few times we have to actually stand up. A lot of times they're like, you have to support this movie because of this and that. You're like, really? Is it? I mean, okay, I guess. I like the people in there. They're pro-lifers and so forth. This movie could potentially change minds. That's a good question, Danny. I don't know. I would get a Netflix account, watch it one time to support it, and then so you could see it, and then jump off it. Yeah. Or go buy the DVD. Either way, I mean, there's multiple ways to support it. But I'm talking about the people who don't agree with us on the position of abortion. If it's on a streaming service like Netflix, it opens the door for more people to see it. That's the question. It's not about you and me, because you and I, we're going to do stuff like we're either going to sign up for Netflix for a day and watch it, or we're going to go buy the DVD or whatever the case may be. I'm talking about the people that don't want to see it this weekend, but if it's staring at them in their Netflix queue or on Amazon or whatever these stream or on Hulu, maybe they'll say, okay, I heard a lot about this. So I'll watch it. Those are the people we're talking about. And there you go, folks. It's doing well. Its per theater average is actually really good, considering it's over $1,000 per theater, which if you actually look at how box office is measured, especially when you only have a theater, think of a movie like Venom. Venom has 4,250 theaters to collect its millions of dollars. First Man's 3,600. A Star is Born is 3,000 theaters. Gosnell has 600 theaters. And so out of 600 theaters, if you're able to say that it has a per screen average of $1,728 per theater, and that's only 600 theaters. Got to get that number up. We got to help get that number up, folks. All right. That's it for Film Industry Friday. Now it is time for the world famous You've Got to Be Kidding Me, where I drudge the depths of the internet to find stories that are kind of ridiculous that'll have you say, you've got to be kidding me. From the New York Post. This is a real story. Everyone is going wild for Golden Girls themed cereal. If binge watching the series for the umpteenth time isn't enough to satisfy your love of Dorothy, Blanchette, Rose, and Sophia, fans of the Golden Girls can now munch on a box of cereal inspired by the four famous women. The limited edition multigrain, at least it's multigrain, right? O's, created by pop culture brand Funko, are bright blue and come in a box with the Miami women as anime-style illustrations. Plus, each package comes with a tiny collectible figure. You feeling nostalgic yet? For those of you dying to get your hand on the Golden Girls Funkos, it won't be an easy feat. The item selling for $7.99 is a Target exclusive. Oh, then there's talk about Funkos. But there you go, folks. In case you have The Urge. For all things Golden Girls, you can now buy the Golden Girls cereal. I mean, come on. They really missed a golden opportunity, pun intended. Why can't they just have golden cereal, man? Blue. You know, why are they blue? Is it easier for senior citizens to see it? I'm surprised it doesn't have a healthy dose of fiber, too. I mean, we can go on and on and on about that. what are you talking about there, Jeff? I mean, what song, huh? What song are you talking about, buddy? You know? I mean, come on. It's not a song that we all know, but... Oh, it's not on iTunes. Daggone it, I can't play it. I was going to play it for y'all. But, oh, maybe it's on YouTube. I have enough time. I'm going to get this song in here to get you guys. For all your other nonsense in the chat room. Yes, I should have prepared for this a little earlier. But since Jeff brought it up, buddy, I'm going to leave you this Friday with... The only way.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant. And if you threw a party.
All right, folks. You got to be kidding me. That is it for the Bear Brief. I'm ending with this song, folks. Oh, here on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers coming at you live from the Republic of Texas. I am your humble host, Captain Middle America himself, Rick Barrett. Thanking you for joining me today. Questions, comments, and concerns, send them to barrettbrief@gmail.com, barrettbrief@gmail.com. Make sure you go to the iTunes and Google Play Store, download the Crusade Channel content app, get the latest episodes, including the one with the Golden Girls theme at the end. Thank you guys in the chat room. You guys are great as always. I am your humble host, Captain Middle America himself, Rick Barrett, and the words of Mother Angelica. I am no punching bag. I want to wish grace and peace to all of you. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday. We'll be right back.